This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is our tech ambassador, Ty Dennison, who is also the director of technology for Grand Slam Performance Associates. Welcome back.
Morning, Kyle.
You're here to help me, and I'm assuming some others, understand this term that comes up about once a year or so, it seems, net neutrality.
Net neutrality is basically all data that passes through the internet is just ones and zeros, and so it shouldn't matter if it's video or photos.
So whether it's my stock quote or it's a clip from an old sitcom, doesn't matter who it's from, should be treated equally.
That's right.
But let's say I am a big provider of data. Let's say I'm Netflix or I'm Amazon Prime or I'm someone like that. And I want to make sure the people who want to see are able to see it. I'd like to pay a little bit more so I can get through always, and maybe at the expense of some other information.
That's part of what net neutrality is obviously against, is that kind of favoritism. What happens then is people who are content providers that don't have the same power to make deals with the big ISPs that Netflix has, their content gets their content becomes kind of second class citizens. And so the concern is that we're turning our internet service, or if left in the hands of the ISPs without regulation, they're going to turn internet into cable TV.
I was about to say, it sounds like the model for cable or satellite television where this package gives me this, but if I want ESPN 9, I pay more.
Exactly. And so that's kind of where the proposed non-neutral internet would go is, oh, you're a – and they already hint toward it with their suggestions for how much bandwidth you need. Oh, you want to do these things, you only need this much bandwidth. Oh, you want to do these things, well, you'll probably want this much bandwidth. That's their suggestion. They use that to try and sell you more bandwidth. Most people know you can still watch Netflix at a pretty low bandwidth because Netflix has made it a priority to get you their content as easily as possible, so they'll adjust quality to match your bandwidth unless you just got really bad connection. But where they would go in the future is, oh, you're streaming content, you have to have the streaming package.
Right.
Oh, you're uploading photos, you have to have the uploading photos feature to your internet package. And that's where those businesses would go.
Could go.
Right. It had the potential to go. That's where it's speculated they will go. That's kind of where they've shown their hand that they're headed. And they say that obviously they need to do that to support the infrastructure. As the internet grows and we do more things on the internet, there's obviously an added infrastructural cost. And so those who are against the regulations of net neutrality say that regulation stops these businesses from being able to compensate for the increased demand, and therefore it's, in their mind, blocking growth because they can't build more into the infrastructure.
So there is infrastructure concern that will have to be addressed, right?
Right. And so that's part of those who are opposed to net neutrality say that's how the market, once we allow businesses to regulate content and change the way they charge things, that's how that infrastructure will be produced. Others argue that it will happen organically. People think of, say, like the Google Fiber initiative and things like that. Well, the issue with Google Fiber initiative is then Google becomes our savior and we're yet again in the pockets of don't be evil Google.
Well, yeah. Let's say someone is listening to this and said, well, darn straight, I pay a monthly fee to Netflix. I want to be able to see that first season of Hawaii Five-0 whenever I want without interruptions. So net neutrality would keep me from doing that.
The argument against that is that when we remove net neutrality, it will allow some benefits, but that it will actually hinder growth. It will hinder the ability for the next Netflix to be growing. In the same way that we have a monopoly of internet of ISPs, we have a monopoly of cable companies, content will be governed in the same way, and that the big players will get bigger, the small players won't be able to grow, and so that removes some of the free-flowing, enterprising nature of the internet when content providers can make deals with internet service providers to prioritize their content. Or on the other side of that, there's freedom of speech issues when people rally behind a cause one way or the other, saying this company's this person's producing hate speech. We need to, and enough people go to that ISP and report that, then they will obviously feel obligated because they have the power to do so, to do something about that, and then it becomes a freedom of speech issue. So that those are some other concerns when we remove the neutrality, the quote-unquote neutrality of the internet, is that we put that power in the hands of the ISP. So realistically, it's about where does the power go? Do we want the power to be in the hands of the FCC, or do we want the power to be in the hands of the ISPs?
It seems that as though some companies are trying to walk a fine line because they know so many of the people who have supported them from the beginning and used them are in favor of net neutrality. So some have come out and said, hey, we're not going to do any of this. We're going to follow the net neutrality, if not laws, ethic.
That's part of the ethos of the internet, is this free enterprise kind of Wild West mentality. And those who've made their living and produced things on the internet have done so with that in mind. And so it's very anti-internet to regulate the internet. And so you see all the big companies that, they may not have started to say a whole lot at first, but once the noise kind of hit a certain point, obviously everyone had to jump on board to save face. And so this takes us back like 2 years to SOPA and PIPA. We had people, there was a quiet stirring happening, and then all of a sudden, once it hit mass, every person who has a business on the internet, with the exception of, I think, GoDaddy, jumped on board to be against it and blacked out their services as a way of protesting SOPA and PIPA to cast it down. And those companies that walked the fine line, you know, they were content to let the protests, the dissidents, I suppose you could say, make their case until it became apparent that they needed to put their hat in the ring. And when they did so, they sided with the internet because they're an internet company. But obviously they know that if it goes through, they're not going to be hurt. So people like Google, who will present themselves, who are pro-internet, obviously, but wouldn't be hurt by a measure like this and could actually benefit some, can go, well, we'll see, because we could use some of that priority YouTube action.
Isn't it true that Google and Amazon and Netflix and dozens of others who are getting, who are becoming wealthy or having a good business online, if net neutrality laws hadn't been in effect 8 or 9 or 15 years ago, they would have had a hard time getting to the point where they are now?
Oh, absolutely. If net neutrality wasn't kind of the de facto operating way when Google was around, we'd all still be using America Online or Yahoo Search.
Friendster.
Yeah, precisely. All of those things that were dominant then would have had the power to lock up things and prioritize themselves more than they were able to. But because that wasn't the internet service providers weren't thinking that way. So it's not as if net neutrality was established back in. We just didn't know what we had.
Tyrell Dennison is the Director of Technology for Grand Slam Performance Associates and is our tech ambassador. Ty, as always, thank you.
Yeah, you bet, Kyle.